Good afternoon. Everybody ready? Very good. First of all, thank you for being here. I have a couple of topics I'd like to discuss today, and then after that I'll take some questions. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about crime stats, a little bit about Foothill Division SWAT barricade that ended successfully. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about a Hollenbeck incident where a child was stranded in an overheated vehicle. And then we're going to talk about the North Hollywood officer involved shooting where the bomb squad responded, and this is the device actually that they responded. Citywide, we still struggle with crime, although we're making progress. We're at 11.9% increase in Part 1 crime. That's as compared to 3 months ago when we were at over 15%. So we're making progress on that. We're also making progress on violent crime and property crime as a whole. And we're making good progress on gang crime. Gang crime was up almost 20% at the quarter, and we're at 15 right now. So things are going the right way, and the strategies that are in place are having a good effect. This weekend, we had a tough weekend, particularly in South Los Angeles. We had four gang-related shootings that occurred in the 77th Division over a short time period. All four of those were related to an ongoing dispute between two street gangs that has been historic, that have been historic rivals for decades. I know that there has been a lot of media attention to the 100 days of violence postings. I think that in all fairness, you can't attribute a gang dispute that's been ongoing between two street gangs for as long as I've been a Los Angeles police officer to a series of postings. You know, the gang disputes are more likely to be generational, territorial, and tied to long-standing feuding, and not so much to Facebook postings. Although we are looking very closely at this, I want to be careful in how we relate this to what is unfortunately typical gang violence in Los Angeles. I want to say that we are not seeing a significant increase, and since we have redeployed resources to 77th Division, as of Saturday night, we have not had what we would consider unusual levels of gang violence or a continuation of the incidents of Saturday night. In Foothill Division, on Friday, multiple calls were received about a man who was walking in the area of Hellendale and Kyle shooting a handgun. Rounds fired by the suspect from a large caliber weapon struck a vehicle and a garage door in the neighborhood. Foothill officers arrived, tried to take the man into custody, but he fled into his home, and Foothill Division officers called SWAT, who are the typical unit of Los Angeles Police Department that responds to these type incidents. SWAT responded. They brought a crisis negotiation team that includes a number of SWAT members and a psychologist that is employed by the Los Angeles Police Department. SWAT found out that there were multiple weapons inside the residence and that the individual inside had a strong knowledge of how to use these weapons and was in fact an accomplished gunsmith. Negotiations began. They were able to establish contact, and negotiations initially were not hopeful. As a matter of fact, the psychologist believed and told SWAT officers that this was likely to come to a violent end. Crisis negotiation team was extremely patient. They worked long hours in negotiating with this individual and were able to successfully convince him to surrender. 13 firearms were recovered from the suspect's residence, including two rifles and a shotgun. There were also over 16 pounds of ammunition recovered. He was eventually booked for assault and shooting into an inhabited dwelling. This is the reason I highlight this instance is to show the good work of the Los Angeles Police Department, particularly our SWAT team. As a matter of historical record, for this year, 2015, this is the 61st SWAT call-out, and in all those call-outs, SWAT has only had one officer involved shooting. They see their mission as one of preserving life. They see their mission as life-saving, and in fact, they often do that. Speaking of life-saving, I have two officers here from Hollenbeck, Officer Pack and his sergeant, Sergeant Arellano. Officer Pack was in Hollenbeck Division when he was flagged down by a mother. She was extremely distraught. She explained that she had locked her two-year-old inside her vehicle, and it was extremely hot, and he'd been locked in the vehicle for almost 10 minutes. Officer Pack and Sergeant Arellano, knowing how important it is that a young person be removed from this kind of situation, broke one of the vehicle's windows, rescued the two-year-old, and called the fire department, who treated the young boy. The young boy's treatment was successful, and he was released to his mother. I highlight this for two reasons. One, to show the compassion of Officer Pack and Sergeant Arellano. Sergeant Arellano, in fact, arranged for the repair of the mother's vehicle window out of his own funds. And you know, that's something to be highly commended, definitely above and beyond what we would expect from a Los Angeles police officer. But I also want to make sure that people understand how dangerous it is to lock young children, or to leave young children unattended in locked vehicles. You know, the heat and humidity, particularly this weekend, are going to be extreme, and this places young people in great jeopardy. As a matter of fact, there have been 636 heat stroke deaths of children left in cars in the last 15 years in the United States, and we certainly don't want any more, and it is extremely important that children are not left in cars. Many of you reported on the North Hollywood officer-involved shooting that occurred on Ventura Boulevard and Laurel Canyon last Friday on the 24th. As you know, multiple citizens called the Los Angeles Police Department saying that they had seen a man shooting a gun into the air. Officers responded and attempted to convince the suspect to put a handgun down that he had in his possession. The suspect raised a handgun, and an officer-involved shooting occurred, resulting in the death of the individual. Because of what was believed to be an explosive device on his body, the bomb squad responded. Our bomb technicians utilized Andros, one of our bomb disarming devices, to render the devices safe. You know, this was a very difficult incident for everybody. It was widely televised. It was a time of a lot of concern for many. You know, we not only had to shut down a very active boulevard, but we also had to take a human life. And that is, of course, something that we take very seriously. A lot of folks ask why this would happen. Why would somebody engage the Los Angeles Police Department in actions that so obviously are likely to lead to their death? This individual had a pistol that he pointed at police officers, refused to put it down upon their insistent orders, and he'd also taped the facsimile device to his body that replicated a bomb very, very closely. It had propane cylinder or natural gas cylinders, it had wiring, it had a cell phone connected in it, and it also had clay on it to simulate plastic explosives. Certainly something that was intended to make him appear much more dangerous than in fact he was. I think the only conclusion that anybody can come to, and of course we still have much investigation to do, and the final conclusions have not been reached, but the only conclusion we can come to at this time is that this was a suicide by an individual who uses the Los Angeles Police Department to end his life. This is the sixth time this has happened this year. The Los Angeles police officers come to work every day. They do not come to work with the belief that they're going to somebody committing suicide, and I think that this is something that has been very, very much on the increase, particularly in the city of Los Angeles. I think that what I would ask is that for families, for providers, when you see people in distress, when you see signs that somebody may be contemplating suicide, when somebody talks about having the police end their life, please reach out, get them help. I don't want our police officers to have to do something that will impact them for the rest of their lives. I think this is something that is very much within our ability to affect. Now, maybe not completely control, but we can certainly affect it as a population by taking care of our own. A couple of things of note, Andy, for the robot, has been with the Los Angeles Police Department for 5 years. I guess it's gender neutral, Andy is, I won't use a pronoun, has disarmed multiple devices. This is a life-saving tool. It saves the lives of Los Angeles police officers. We have lost several bomb technicians in our history. And Andy prevents that. This is one of those things that is very necessary for modern policing. It's developed strictly for policing. It's not a military surplus. It is specifically evolved and sold to law enforcement. One final thing. I think we have a notice here for an event that's occurring tomorrow that I'll invite the media to. In the Line of Fire, a screening in our auditorium on the West Coast for the first time. Details are available on the poster. And with that, I'll take questions.
Chief, getting back to the 100 days, 100 deaths. I mean, a lot of the demand of it was net. It was a headline story in one of the New York papers. Completely bogus. I mean, how did this thing get to this point?
Well, and we look to that. We're trying to run it down to its source. There are many, many urban myths, and many of them coincide with gang activity. We've dealt with multiple of them in the history of the Los Angeles Police Department. I would hope that this is one of those. We have not seen any increase in events that we directly tied to this, but we're looking very closely at it. I would encourage the media to take it for what it is, postings by individuals who are probably not going to be involved in the activity. The activity that we had this weekend was tied to long-standing gang feuds that have been around for 4 decades of my direct knowledge. And certainly we're not due to Facebook postings. So, I think that we have to give this the weight that it's due. We have to be vigilant in how we look at these things, but we have to not make more of them than they are.
Chief, is there something that's brought this feud back to life, given it new energy?
Well, this is a long-standing feud. I won't name the gangs. I'll say that there was a homicide that occurred several weeks ago, a funeral that was attended to that homicide. There were some words spoken and a clash at that funeral, and that funeral led to a continuation of the shootings. Unfortunately, that is a story as old as gang violence in Los Angeles. Disrespect or physical aggression displayed at funerals often leads to an acceleration of shootings between active street gangs, and that's what this appears to be. And certainly that is a story as old as the gang activity in Los Angeles and has nothing to do with Facebook.
Chief, a terrible story out of Cincinnati today. I was wondering if you might just talk briefly about the LAPD's pilot program with body cams and how it's going. Is it keeping police and citizens safe?
The body cam program is live and moving forward very rapidly in Los Angeles. We intend to begin our general deployment next month. We have our pilot programs in place. I think that that body cams will make policing more accountable, but it also makes the public more accountable. I think that it's an important step forward in law enforcement. I think it's an important step forward in building public trust. The program is not and will never be perfect. It is not and will never give complete access or tell a complete story, but it is an important piece of evidence that may allow us to come to the truth of what happens on the street. And so, we are very, very much in favor of body cameras. I'm in favor of them for what they will do for the Los Angeles Police Department and what they'll do for the city of Los Angeles as a whole. But I'm also a realist. I also recognize that they cannot tell a complete story, and that there are many, many other components to an investigation that have to be completed. You can't just let the story stand alone on one point of view, on one video.
Could you talk about the autopsy of Charlie Lendu Cunang, what they released, that he had drugs in his system?
I won't. That is certainly an ongoing case, it's under investigation, and I won't speak directly to it, but what I will say is this, is that the combination of mental illness and drug abuse on Skid Row leads to multiple violent confrontations, and it appeared to have an impact on this confrontation between Mr. Lindau and Los Angeles Police Department. It is a tragedy, and one of the things that make addressing homelessness in Los Angeles so important, because folks that live on the street in Los Angeles often have issues of mental illness, often have issues of drug dependence or alcohol dependence, and when living on the street, you are unable to get proper maintenance medication, and you're also unable to participate in programs to aid in either your recovery or sobriety, or help you with your mental health issues. There are many, many tragedies that occur in Los Angeles because of this mix of mental instability and narcotics. And we have to do, as not just the police department, but as the public who are guardians of each other's safety, we have to do our best to break that cycle. And one of the best ways to do that is to reduce the number of people that live on the street. There are a number of programs in place right now that are beginning to do that. I think it's something that Los Angeles has to concentrate on. I think it's something that we have to put not only political will behind, but public will. This is very much a situation that has a solution. That solution is not inexpensive, but I think that for us to call ourselves a first world city, and a city that should be an example to others, I think we have to deal with that.
Chief, can you react to the GQ article that suggested that apparently the reporter had seen the body cam video from your officers, and he reported that that video suggested that he did not reach for his gun, and secondly, that the rookie officer had holstered and unholstered his weapon after the incident?
I'm not going to speak to the ongoing investigation. I read the GQ article. It is certainly done from a specific point of view, and it contains multiple inaccuracies.
Can you talk about
the inaccuracies, though, so people know?
No, because that would reveal the details of the investigation that does not get completed. I think we will make that investigation public, as we always do, at the conclusion. But I don't want to prejudge it. I don't want to preload the investigation. I think it's important that the investigation stand on its own in its totality. And as we do with all officer-involved shootings, after the police commission has made its final determination, we will publish a redacted copy that contains the vast majority of the information, excepting for the officer's name.
Chief, can you talk about the numbers with this gang-renewed violence, these two feuds? Can you talk about numbers that you've added to that area?
We have added not only additional officers from Metropolitan Division, but we've dispatched motor officers from around the city. We've put in multiple additional detective resources. We have and we'll continue to push in this direction.
Chief, the shooting in Studio City, what causes you and your investigators to believe it was a suicide by cop scenario? Was it because of the man's behavior at the scene, or have they found maybe a note or interviews with other family or people who knew this person that helped support that theory?
You know, there was no note that I know of. I think in some of the interviews with family members, there were some indication that this might occur. His actions certainly were consistent. You know, the absolute denial of his own safety by pointing a gun at armed police officers, which is very likely to cause an officer involved shooting and result in your own death. The fact that he would try so diligently to replicate an explosive device that was in fact not an explosive device, but even experts, you know, upon casual examination from a distance, were unable to eliminate the possibility that it was a bomb. You know, all those things are very consistent with somebody that wanted to take their own life.
Beyond the witness statements, have you guys been able to confirm that he did fire shots? Like, has the gun been analyzed?
Well, you know, I won't get into the particular evidence involved here. You know, we certainly have multiple accounts that he did fire shots.
On another shooting, in the Azelle Ford case, can you say whether you've completed whatever your role in the case is now that the commission sent it back to you, without telling us what it is, obviously? And second, what's your understanding of the commission's, I guess, reopening the case or coming out with a new decision on it?
Well, I won't comment on discipline. I won't comment on whether I've made a decision in this matter or when that would be forthcoming if I haven't. And I can't comment on why the commission does what it does. You'll have to ask them. So, Eric, you got everything you want?
Absolutely.
You're welcome.
Chief, you fought pretty hard against being deposed in the Azelle Ford civil case. Why was that?
Well,
as we're on that topic.
Actually, the city attorney is the one that does that. And the city attorney does that as a general rule. You know, it tries to limit the amount of times I'm deposed. Usually, my deposition is not necessary for a civil case. Usually, another member of the Los Angeles Police Department can give the same information without using the chief's time. It's strictly about keeping me able to run the police department rather than be locked in these depositions for hours at a time.
Chief, one more time. I keep hammering this 100-day thing, but there we have reports that there are actually some schools where kids have been telling their teachers that their parents are afraid to send them out to go to school. A number of bishops and leaders of the religious community are holding news conferences and what have you. All of this is for naught. I mean, is that what you're saying?
Well, no. What I'm saying, David, please don't misunderstand me. You know, I think that the effect that this kind of posting has on the general public is significant. You know, and that's one of the reasons that I'm being so direct in saying that we don't believe this is a cause for additional gang violence right now. But the effect that it has on the public is very strong, and if, you know, parents desire to keep their kids safe or keep them out of school, and there's reports of things like that, well, you know, they have to understand that we don't think this is actually tied to gang violence at this point. You know, we're looking at it very closely. You know, we want to make sure that we're right. But the gang activity that has been tied to this, the gang activity that occurred in 77th over the weekend, is very much about a traditional gang feud that goes back decades and is tied to a homicide that occurred long before this posting was ever out. So, you know, I don't see, there's no nexus between those two things. But, you know, I'm not saying that I'm not worried that this will artificially inflame the public's concerns. And I think that, you know, I hope the media takes that obligation seriously, you know, not to give this more weight than it's due. You know, what we don't want is to create hysteria for no reason.
All right. Okay, well, thanks, everybody.
I
have this
ban on gun magazines. Do you think?
Well, we didn't ask any questions about the ban on gun magazines, Frank. You can't ask another if you haven't asked any.
It's an excellent point.
Thank you.
You performed very well in that deposition. I guess. Do you think it'll reduce any? Do you think it'll reduce violence in the city of LA? What effect do you think it will have?
You know, I think that I think the control measures such as this one not only have a real world impact of reducing violence and the opportunity for violence in Los Angeles, but they also send a message that this is a city that values public safety, and this is a city that wants to do what it can to end gun violence. You know, we will suffer well over 200 homicides this year, and the vast majority of them will be because of ready access to firearms. Now, whether the firearm holds one round or 20 rounds, it is still about the ready access to firearms. So this bill, the law limiting magazines, is not the total answer, but it's part of the total answer. And I think that's important. And I think it's also an important statement about how LA feels about gun violence.
How often do you see over 10 magazine, 10 round magazines used in crimes?
Well,
is it a rarity? Is it?
No, it's not rare. We had of the four shootings that I talked about in South Los Angeles on Saturday night, at least one of the weapons was a multiple round magazine. So they're not exclusively used for crime, but they add an extended amount of firepower for one individual, and they certainly are the kind of things that allow for mass shootings. You know, I mean, it may not be a factor in a domestic violence incident or even gang-related shootings, but certainly for the kind of things that the Aurora-type incidents, the multiple round magazines make that way too easy.
Chief, any arrests in the South LA violence that we saw over the weekend?
You know, no arrests that I'm aware of. I know detectives have been working around the clock. It wouldn't surprise me that they had taken people into custody, and I wouldn't even know about it. These are gang violence in Los Angeles is far too common. You know, our gang detectives, our homicide detectives, are extremely good at what they do. You know, they will make arrests in this. You know, this is what we do, and we're very good at it.
Thanks, Chief. I have a SWAT lieutenant here. If anybody needs any information about that, also the crisis negotiation psychologist is here. And if anybody wants a demonstration of the bomb device, bomb robot, we can do that as well. I have bomb tanks here that are equipped with Sergeant Carpenter.